Can you believe that What Does Your Soul Love released just a little over a year ago? With 2020 being what it is, that actually seems like an entire lifetime ago. But today I'm sharing with you an episode that's a bit different than usual. It's different because I'm on the other side of the microphone in this conversation, and I loved this interview so much that I wanted to share it with you here on the Unhurried Living podcast. Recently, I was on the Girls Talking Life podcast, and Johanna, the gracious host, engaged me in a wonderful conversation about our book, What Does Your Soul Love?, as well as Unhurried Living. I wanted to share it with you here to remind you that living the questions is still a great way to participate in your own transformation. Questions like, what do I want? What is getting in my way? And what am I afraid of? All of these are doorways to change and to growth. So if you haven't already, I encourage you to make your way to your favorite bookseller and get a copy of What Does Your Soul Love? There is no better time than now to live the questions. And right now, I'm walking through this book, one chapter at a time, in our Unhurried community. There's a module inside the community that is specifically for women of influence, and it's called Replenish. If you want to dive into these questions in relationship with other women, then join the community now. It's only $10 a month. And I can't wait to meet you personally in our online training and conversation. So go now to unhurriedliving.com and sign up. Now, I hope you enjoy my conversation with Johanna.
Hello, Jen. Thank you so much for coming on Girls Talking Life. I can't wait to hear what you have to say.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Tell me a little bit about yourself and your work.
Well, so I am actually a founding partner of an organization called Unhurried Living. And we train leaders to live and work better with less hurry, which I suppose a lot of people can resonate with in this culture that we live in. It's very easy to be hurried.
Yes.
One of the things we like to talk about is the difference between busy and hurry, because most people are busy. There's a lot going on. There's a lot to do. Although now in this season that we're in with the pandemic, I don't know how busy we are. But hurry is a different thing. Busy is more external, and hurry is more about your heart, your soul. How are you revving inside? So we talk about nurturing that space inside of you and let that inform what you do.
I love that.
Yeah, it's. I think it's so needed in this culture. So a lot of the work that I do surrounds that. So I'm also a spiritual director, and I meet with women individually, and together we learn to listen to God, to ourselves, how to move out from that place. I write. We do all the normal things that organizations do, you know, the social media and the emails and the blogging and the podcasting. So it's a fun job, because I really kind of just get to be myself and offer what I have and hopefully encourage and build people up.
Well, I love that idea of unhurried living. That's just sounds like a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
How did you get into this ministry?
Well, it's really been a lifetime in the coming. So this month, my husband and I will celebrate 35 years of marriage.
Wow, congratulations.
So yay, we decided let's just go for it. So we met and married very young. And when I was in my mid-20s, actually, I met a group of mentors along with my husband, and they got us onto this journey of the Christian life that really just changed the trajectory to where I am now and how I can even be offering something called unhurried. But I'm trying to not make this a long answer, but it's, I'll give you a thumbnail. That turning point really changed me. They reintroduced me to Jesus, who I had already known for more than a decade at 26. And I don't know, they brought in John 15, which I had somehow lost track of. And it says, I am the vine and you are the branches. You know, apart from me, you can do nothing. And those phrases really struck me. It also says, I've called you friends. I no longer call you servants. He's talking to his disciples. Mm-hmm. And it just really struck me about the very close relationship you could have with Jesus and what a difference that makes, which of course sounds silly because that's the point of the Christian life, right?
Right.
But don't you see too that sometimes when you go along for days, weeks, months, years, there's a familiarity that happens and you lose track of the center.
Absolutely.
So I got back in touch with the center of my life, and I've been on that trajectory now for the last 30 years. And, you know, story, my husband and I were just at the point of our lives. We were entering our 50s, and that's that sort of post-midlife, you know, generative years. And you really want to be about, if you can, being who you are while you do what you do. And Unhurried Living was an organization that we started about 4 years ago. And it's really the fruit of decades of our lives of living in spiritual formation and leadership, which is what we've been doing forms of all the time. But this is the latest permutation of it.
A result of your collective works. I love it.
It is, nice. Yes. Yeah.
So you have recently written a book with your husband.
Yeah.
Called What Is Your Soul Love? And I heard the title and I thought, oh, that sounds so light and airy. And then I dug a little deeper and no, it is not at all.
That's true. Yeah. We go for it in there. It's actually the title is a question and the book is full of questions. And, you know, most of us have a bias for answers. I'd like an answer right now, and I'd like whatever I do to happen very quickly, and then I am solved, and that's typical.
Yes.
All of us seem to be wired that way. But of course, as you go along on your path, you find that sometimes living with the questions are the things that actually bring about transformation. So we have offered 8 questions in here. And as you said, we're not really holding back.
Right. I want to dive in to some of those questions. But first, tell me, what was it like writing a book with your husband?
Well, yeah. So actually, our editor said, are you sure you want to do this? You know, there's stories of separations and divorces, and which is not a laughing matter at all.
No.
But it is serious because, I mean, writing in itself is a very deeply creative process and you're pulling from somewhere inside of yourself. So it's vulnerable and it's hard work.
Yeah.
But again, at the time we wrote the book, you know, because books come out, but you wrote it 2 years ago, you know, that is so. At that time we had been married, whatever, 33 years, 32 years. And we had already gone through our own therapy years ago. We've done a lot of our own work and we knew that we had what it took to communicate through this. So even though it just takes a lot of communication, at this point, we have such a shared vocabulary. We are completely different people, but we have a shared vision here. And there's a way in which when you've lived with someone this long, even the turn of phrase can be similar. So it worked well, actually, to blend our voices, I think.
Okay.
But yeah, it was a fun process. I enjoyed it.
Okay, great. My husband has been home for the last, you know, 6 weeks and we're not working together, but it's definitely a different experience being together all the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we have a home office, so we're accustomed to that, but it's still, it takes work because you do have to come up with boundaries that work for whatever the personal conversations are and the work conversations. So we make decisions about how the time goes throughout any given day because it's all blended.
Yeah. In the very first chapter, you are offering an invitation, and that invitation is for change and transformation.
Yeah.
How do you invite someone into that?
Well, my first response to that, I tend to be an idealist. I get enthusiastic about things. So of course, if I lead with my optimism, I would say, why wouldn't you want to change? Right? That's, and I don't know how invitational that is for everyone because the word change can be scary. The word transformation can be scary. So on one hand, I want to say, this is a gift. Reach out and grab it and let yourself be transformed. You know, it says be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So in a way, transformation is passive in that God is transforming us. But we all know that we all have a part in that. We respond,
right?
And so my enthusiastic encouragement is respond. God is initiating. Along with that, I would have to say, I acknowledge your fear. I acknowledge that there's so much unknown, because sometimes we don't change until where we are gets more painful than where we want to be, right?
Yeah.
I've done that many, many, many times. I've waited until I just had to, and that's fine. But I can also choose to take some steps without it, the pain forcing the issue. So I would say, let yourself be open to what's possible. God is the one initiating, and he will never bowl you over. Even if it's hard, he's not trying to crush you. He's trying to form you, which is a different thing. So I don't know if that sounded encouraging and yet realistic.
It did. It did. And I feel that same way. I want to grow. I want to keep developing. But on the other hand, as we'll talk about, you know, some of your chapters get into pain and fear, and you have to work through some of those things, which then is not so comfortable and fun.
It's totally true. It's totally true. Yeah.
So talk to me about some of your questions.
Well, maybe it would be interesting to hear even how we came up with these.
Please.
So, of course, when you make a book proposal, you have ideas. So this, the outline of this book was actually just one chapter in our initial proposal. And it was my chapter. At the beginning, we were going to have our own chapters and share them. It ended up that we both wrote half of each chapter. But initially, this was my chapter. And it was because I had asked God many years ago. I was maybe in my early 40s, I suppose. I was on what was more like a vista moment. You know how we have ebbs and flows in our life and ups and downs. And in this given moment, I was probably on what you would call an up. I felt good about myself. I felt good about where I was in my life. So I asked God a question. And I tend to pray as I go. So it wasn't even necessarily that I was sitting down in my quiet time. I was living my life and I just was thinking, and I just sort of asked this question, how did I get here? How did I get here? And I hope that question, I hope it doesn't sound arrogant. It was an honest question at the time of, I like where I'm at. I like how I've become so far, which I think is good for a woman to think through. Mm-hmm. Where are you? Are you enjoying this? Are you happy with the progress you've made? And where are you at now? I think these are interesting things to talk about. So I asked God how I got there, how I got here. And over the course of months, actually, I just kept listening for answers, because I knew it wasn't a one answer moment. So I just kept listening. And these ideas of certain points in my life where transformation occurred just popped in, and I started writing them down. And they ended up being these themes, these eight now that are in the book. I received them in slightly different forms. Some of them were statements, some of them were questions. The only one that actually stayed exactly as it was the title of the book, What Does Your Soul Love? That actually came as an insight. You know, sometimes when it's dry or you feel like you're in a desert time, it's not cozy and it's not, it's just dry. You know what I'm talking about. And I was just struggling to find a way to be with God that felt familiar. And this idea of what do I love to do came, and it was as though God was inviting me to remember that he's with me in that. So it opened up sort of my eyes to what is possible for experiencing God instead of just this little to-do list that I had. God was saying, what does your soul love? Let's do that together. If you like the beach, if you like museums, we can talk there. We can be together there. And it sort of opened me up. So anyway, I hope that answered part of your question.
It did. Absolutely. You talk about things, you ask questions such as, what do you really want? Focusing on desire. What is getting in your way? Talking about resistance. What are you hiding? Vulnerability. What is most real to you? Truth. How are you suffering? on the topic of pain. What are you afraid of? Fear. What are you clinging to? Control. And then, like you mentioned, what does your soul love? Joy. How do you go about helping the reader answer these questions?
Well, in the book, of course, we share a lot of stories. We wanted it to be personal and, I guess, realistic. Let's be fair here. I'm not actually saying that I have the answers to all these questions. That would be pretty arrogant. But I offer them in a way that you could live them. And then both my husband and I shared stories from our lives in ways in which we leaned into those questions and what that looked like. So we started, I mean, you're right. This is not light reading, right? Vulnerability and resistance. I mean, resistance is chapter 3. We don't even let you get warmed up and we're already talking about it. But yeah, so again, it's an invitation to acknowledge the questions, ask the questions, and then let the questions help form you as you lean in. Because right off the bat, if you're asking that first question of desire, what do you really want? I mean, that can
it's a hard question to answer.
Totally. And on any given day, I mean, the answer could change. And then think about the levels of answers that there are to that question.
Right.
And that's why you could live with that question over the course of your entire life. What do you want? So once you make your list and you get past the stuff like, well, I'd like a new house and I'd like a new car and I'd like, you know, smaller hips. You know, you get this list going and now you start uncovering things and now you're into the depths of, oh man, I want to be loved. I want to be heard. I want to know what it feels like to be whole. I mean, there's a whole nother level. And again, we're asking for some courage here, for some transparency. One of the chapters is on truth. And I just think getting in touch with the deepest level of truth about yourself and your circumstances at any given moment is a doorway to movement forward. And I guess maybe that's what this is. I think each one of these is a doorway. You can walk through, see what's on the other side.
You talk about soul focus.
Yeah.
And again, that's deep work. And that requires slowing down.
Right.
How do we pay attention to our souls? How do we go about even beginning that process?
Yeah, well, you just said it. You said it very well. It is about slowing down. And that's why we're called unhurried living. Circling back to that, you know, a lot of people think just off the cuff, unhurried must mean, well, you don't get much done. And you're probably like walking at half pace and, you know, all slowness. And slowness usually is negative in our culture. It has a connotation. Oh, he's slow. Well, but again, slowness is about being unhurried. And unhurried is about being about what matters the most. And when we're busy or rushed, it's easy to not make the time for those things. And here we are. I mean, this is the prime time for this conversation in the pandemic, right?
Yes.
People are not commuting anymore. They're not running their children around to all the different things. They themselves don't even have a social life, the adults, you know? And so things have slowed in a certain way. But now, however many weeks we're into this, a couple of months, the more I'm talking with women, I'm finding them saying, oh, I'm loving this. This, the way it is right now, I have time to work out. I'm not commuting. And so I have time for this and I have time for, they're listing the things. And I'd like to invite us that it is possible that even if whatever normal becomes, there is a way that we can make decisions that cause us to be less hurried. But you asked about the soul. How do you keep your soul unhurried? I was telling you earlier when I was in my 20s, I was introduced to some mentors. So there is this practice. I don't know if you've talked about this on your podcast before, but solitude and silence. It's a classic.
I haven't.
It's a classic, classic spiritual practice. And it's just, it sounds so scary. Solitude and silence, like only a monk would do that. But all it means is you've set aside some time, 5 minutes, maybe an hour, maybe a day. And what you're doing is you're setting everything down. And for just that space and time that you've decided, it's just you and God. So even though it's called solitude and silence, you're not alone. You're with God. And there's a way in which, no matter what your personality is, everything just gets to take a little bit of a breather. Everything gets to sort of be taken off your shoulders for 5 minutes or an hour or half a day. You get to pretend that the world will spin without you. Right?
Yes.
Yes.
It will happen.
We don't do that very often, right? The space and time to just be a person separate from all of our relationships and responsibilities. Now, someone taught me this practice, and I began to practice with just an hour once a month, which doesn't seem like a lot. 1 hour a month is not a lot of time.
To a busy woman, it is.
Back then, I was working basically two jobs. I didn't have children yet. I was working full-time in the corporate world, and my husband was an associate pastor at a large church, and I did everything with him. So it was like I had two jobs. But this became an invitation to me that I couldn't deny. And so I began to just set aside 1 hour a month, and it was probably a Saturday, go to my local park, and I would just sit there. I took my Bible. Probably back then, this was the 1990. We didn't have anything like an iPod then, probably. I probably had, you know, my CD player.
Right.
I took worship music, and I just sat. And I let everything fall, and I just knew that I was with God. And that practice makes inside of you a reservoir. You're talking about how do you get your soul unhurried? That kind of practice makes a space inside of you that continues to grow over the years as you continue. And so maybe you can tell me, I don't know at this point for you, the way your life is, does that sound like that would be doable? I'm so accustomed to it. Sometimes I lose track of how doable that might sound.
I do think that's doable.
Yeah. Well, good. Yeah. I figured for a month, that's how I started. You know, I was fitting it in amidst my busy things. But again, it creates an unhurried pace in your soul over time. Because in that hour, and sometimes it takes all the 55 minutes because our brains are spinning, our hearts are usually racing for all different reasons. It can take most of the hour for your body to just become where it is. But I'll tell you what, often in those last 5 minutes, I got to that relaxed point and I just sensed God's presence. And so that made a space within me where I would now label that an unhurried space in my soul.
Now, during your hour, are you talking to God, or is it just about relaxing and focusing and listening?
Yeah. So I'll tell you realistically what happens, especially at first. It's mostly about batting away all the million thoughts that are going on in your mind.
Okay.
So the vision for it, of course, yeah. The vision is I'm with God. God is with me. It's attempting to live the reality that we say we believe. It's the Christmas story, God with us,
right?
It's the Easter story, Jesus loving us so much that he died and then rose and the freedom we have. So this hour is about remembering. It's about just being. We do a lot of doing. So ideally, your intention is what I'm saying, but what actually happens is your body stops, but your brain doesn't. So it can take quite a few minutes for your brain to even settle. That's why I say starting with an hour is good, just because it'll take sometimes half the time for the thoughts to quiet. And that's when you get to that space where you can actually, you know, maybe sense something. I'm not promising what or will or will not happen in the time, but I do know that the practice itself is good for our body. It's good for our brains. It's good for our hearts. It's good for our souls. And then hold loosely what you expect from God. Hold on to the fact that being with is good, and let that change you. Again, we come back to that verse, be transformed.
Right.
Be transformed.
There is a lot of processing that you may do as you walk through these chapters. Mm-hmm. At what point do you think it's more than I can handle on my own? At what point do you know that?
Yeah. I think most of us have a built-in kind of a rudimentary knower, like, you know, like, oh, okay, this is as far as I can go today on this. Now, when you hit that spot, it's good to do a check-in with yourself, though, to make sure that you're not stopping because of fear or resistance,
right?
Which we talk about in the book, as you know. But if you actually have hit a spot and you think you've touched on a nerve, let's say, at that point, I would recommend getting some form of help. You might have a really, really good friend that could just listen to you. Your pastor. This is what spiritual direction is about, actually, meeting with people, listening to these depths of conversations and seeing if we can find, where's God in the midst? Where are you? What's going on here? If you can find a spiritual director or a coach, I would suggest getting help when you feel out of your depths. That's one thing to do. The other one, again, is just check in with yourself and see if you might be able to go a little deeper, but you're just afraid.
And there might even be just a little processing that you need to do before you can go back to it.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. I like to talk about, there's two kinds of paces at work here. There's the pace of grace and there's the pace of transformation. I think both of those paces are actually unhurried. It's another reason choosing an unhurried inside is useful, because it's the pace that we change. We don't change fast. I mean, some changes you can make fast, I'll grant you that, but usually they're external. But that deep stuff that's been building up over these last 30, 40 years of our lives, right? It's going to take a while to notice it, see it, let it unravel, begin a new pattern. So the pace of transformation is slower than we think, and that's okay. We don't need to beat ourselves up for how long it's taking. So yes, you're right. Stop when you need to. Yeah. And then pick it back up when you can.
And you also say that we're not necessarily responsible for the change in us anyway.
Right. God is initiating and God knows. And we have the joy on our best days. It's a joy to cooperate, to respond.
Did you have any examples, any stories that you would like to share from the book, from the questions?
Oh, let's see. Oh, there's so many stories. I don't know that we've gone there. Let's talk about pain. That's one of our light topics in here.
Okay, dive in.
This is one of the stories I actually like to share, because it was one of the most transformative seasons of my life. And it came when I had the greatest physical pain I had ever experienced in my entire life, which is saying something, because I had 3 cesareans.
Oh.
And that's a rough recovery.
Yeah.
And that was painful. But after all that, after my kids were growing up, they were younger than now, but I had a bout with some nerve pain that started in my low back and went all the way down my left leg. And nerve pain, if you've never had it, I didn't know it existed. I didn't know about it. But nerve pain is another level of pain. It really did me in. I mean, the severity of the pain lasted less than a month, but it took 6 months of it becoming just every 2 weeks, it would just ease up a little bit. So I was in that severe pain. And as I was listening to this worship music, all I can do is describe this as God just meeting me. It was about 3 to 5 seconds while I was feeling this terrible pain. I also experienced what I would call a felt sense of the presence of God. You may have had moments like that, you know, if they don't usually last very long, but you're in a holy moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was shocked to experience that level of presence in the midst of what was the worst pain. Now, let's be fair again. Pretty much the whole time I felt this bad. It's not like I was like soaring on a cloud. Oh, I met with God. And oh, he met me there. No, every day for weeks, I was dealing with this pain and all that means. So the story I'm telling you now is me reflecting back and now telling the story from this side, right? It changed me because we don't often think of God being with us in our pain. We mostly want him to make it go away. And sometimes we even think, well, I'm being punished, or God isn't seeing me right now, or something. We think something negative about God because I'm suffering.
Yeah.
For me, it's felt as though God wanted to deepen that reality in me. And one way to do that was to show me that he was with me as I was suffering. Now, again, as I was in it, I wasn't necessarily processing all that, but I'll tell you what, from then on, when I got in my right mind and I could look back at it, I realized now when I go through something that's really hard, I am not alone. And most of us know that in our heads, but when you've encountered God in the actual pain, something changes deep within. You call it your heart, call it your soul. I don't know. There's a knowing. And so I guess my encouragement would be, don't ever think that God has left you if things are hard. There is a way in which he wants to be with you. And so a part of this invitation is, can you see what that looks like right now? What does it look like right now that he's with you in it? Does that make sense?
It absolutely does. Yeah. And I love how you said you weren't thinking these things in the moment.
No.
Because I think that reflection, and that's what this book is about, is just looking back and being like, oh, I get it now. I see.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody in the middle of pain is doing any of this deep thought work. I mean, I can't imagine, because you're just trying to get through that day. I mean, literally, I could only lay in bed, crawl to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Oh, and then once a day, I went for physical therapy and I had to like painfully walk down the stairs, get in the van, and every step was just horrible. I mean, that's what I was doing
right
in the midst. Yeah. So, yeah.
What is your hope for the woman who reads this and goes through this process?
Oh, well, I hope that, well, there's this process in the back of the book that I share, and it's got 9 parts to it, but I'll just share the first 3, I think, in answer to this. I hope that you're open. Open is really the first step. How open are you to change? And how much do you want to transform? And I hope you can hear the encouragement in my voice that it's worth it. My guess is, if you're listening, you're already on a journey. We're all on a journey.
Sure.
And you are already engaging. Or you wouldn't be listening to the wisdom that's coming from Johanna and her guests and trying to learn and improve and grow. So my guess is you're already a grower. I'm encouraging you to participate even more fully. Be more open. Don't be afraid to dig a little deeper and ask the next question. So openness is key. And once you're open, which you are, you begin to be more aware. So I hope that you're growing in your awareness. You're not hiding from yourself. Once a day, could you notice God's presence with you? Once a day, could you notice something inside of yourself that you'd like to look at? And then, so you've got open, aware, and then willing. And then I would love for you to grow in your willingness to take whatever steps are before you. And the best way to go about any step you're going to take is small, simple, and gracious. It doesn't have to be Herculean. It can be just the next one single next step. Just do that one. Stay there as long as you need to. Move on when you can. This is how we change. It's the pace of transformation.
I love that, Jim. Thank you. You make it sound so realistic and reasonable and doable.
Oh, good. Well, I see, what's funny is I'm an optimist. I'm an optimistic realist. I mean, I'm an optimist, but I want to be able to do something. And the only way you can do something is if you can understand it and take a step, right?
Right.
So, yeah. So that's how I like to do it for myself too. So anyway,
Well, I know for me, this has been a recurring theme that I've noticed, is it's time to examine some things.
Mm-hmm.
So your book and some other things that have come to mind or to my attention lately, I'm noticing that that's a theme. And I think it's time to be willing to dig deeper.
Yes. Oh, I love it. And I'm glad you just picked up on some of my words, like noticing. In the book, at the beginning of every chapter is a word or two that I've defined. And I call them process words. And that's another thing I love about this book. There's process words for every chapter, and there's journal questions at the end of every chapter. So you can really go as slow as you want through this and dig in. But process words are great because they keep you moving. We use a lot of brake pedal words, just even in our thoughts.
Yeah.
But process words are words like notice, unfolding, the word and, right? Season. So those are not little throwaway little, because they're in italics and they're these little words at the beginning. Don't throw those away. Those process words to me are really important, because if you start using them, you can start being more in a flow and not in a stop and go motion. If you use them, you can go, okay, I can keep going. I can keep going.
I want to switch gears with you just a bit.
Yeah.
And I would love to hear about your favorites.
Oh, yes. Well, this was fun to think about, actually. I'm like, what does my soul love? What do I love? So I don't know. I hope these fit in with what you normally have people share.
Are no rules.
So here's five things that came to mind when I thought about things right now that I'm enjoying. So first of all, the first one is something I'm actually missing because of our, shelter in place. This isn't happening right now, but this is one of my favorite things. And my husband and I call it the Saturday walk and talk. Usually every Saturday we get up and we live near the beach. We're just, 20 to 30 minutes away from any number of lovely beach areas.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So what we do is we get ourselves to one of our favorite little cities. We have breakfast, and then we walk for at least an hour, sometimes more, along either a marina or a bluff or a path that's walking along the ocean. And we just talk about ours. Now, this is one of those boundaries I was telling you about. We try not to talk about work because it's Saturday. So mm-hmm. This is the time where we get to talk about our own lives and our own feelings and our own thoughts. And so we help each other unpack what's going on. So
nice.
Saturday walk and talk. That's my favorite thing. I don't know if you guys have these back there. Do you have Trader Joe's?
Oh, we do. That's my store gem.
I had to give a shout out to Trader Joe's. I love Trader Joe's. I love the way my youngest son actually works at our local Trader Joe's, and they've been treating their employees really, really well during this time, protecting them. I mean, they gave them raises, they gave them discounts. I mean, they're treating them really good. They're protecting them physically. So all that to say, though, I just love their yummy, easy food. You can always rely on it, and you know that the chemicals that you don't want are not there, and so...
Yes, we have one 20 minutes in both directions from our house, and I drive 20 minutes to get my groceries because I love it.
Me too. Well, they're everywhere here. So I've got one. I've got 10 minutes away every direction. Trader Joe's. And then another thing I'm loving right now is Amazon Prime Music, actually. Oh. I didn't really want to give a shout out to Amazon necessarily, but their Prime Music is really good. When I write, especially, or when I'm doing content, and a lot of times I work in our living room, if I'm hearing sounds that are bothering me, I love to just put in my earbuds and I listen to relaxing music. And so some of the people that I like is Helen Jane Long. She does solo piano. David Ackerman does this beautiful guitar. And Dan Gibson has music, but with nature sounds in the background, like the ocean or a lakeside or a creek going by. So anyway, that's my shout out to the music.
That's a great one. I love turning on music. It just changes the mood.
It does. Oh yeah. Well, I love a good girl power dance song too. But when I'm writing, that doesn't help me.
Right.
So, and then there's this app. It's called Pray As You Go. Pray As You Go. And it's actually crafted by the Jesuits in Scotland. But man, is it beautiful. It starts with beautiful worship music. Then there's scripture readings. There's always a scripture reading, and then they just ask really good questions, and then they give you time to think. So while they ask a question, they play music, and you get to pray. And so each one of these, every day this goes on, every single day of the week, except I think there's only one on the weekend. It's a beautiful way to just partake of some scripture and prayer with someone else sort of prompting you. So I love that. It's called Pray As You Go. And then this one may be a surprise. I don't know, but I'm going to give a shout out to Instagram. I've been really enjoying it lately. I have been making friends there. There are a lot of women out there who are putting out beautiful content, inspirational art, poetry, therapists, other spiritual directors, other authors who are showing, they're sharing their wealth of wisdom. And I've just been connecting there. So if you can, you know, I know there's two sides of a coin to Instagram.
Sure.
But it depends on who you follow.
Right.
So I
choose.
Right. Choose. I just choose the best. I follow a lot of really amazing people, and I've been learning a lot, and I've been making some friends there. So those are my five.
Those are great. Thank you so much for sharing them.
Yeah.
Jim, thank you for coming on today. I have truly enjoyed our conversation. I love the easiness with which you talk about kind of our daily lives and then take it so much deeper and make it this soul focus that is really attainable.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you. I'm glad that came across that way, because that's how I'm trying to live my life, which is I have a real life just like everyone else, and I'm trying to do my best just like everyone else. And so I like to encourage myself and others to engage God in our real lives.
Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Johanna. It's fun to be on the other side of the microphone sometimes. So I want you to remember to go now to unhurriedliving.com and sign up for the Unhurried Community. Again, it's only $10, which is about the price of two Starbucks drinks. So do this for yourself. We've made this doable for anyone. I'm walking through the book one chapter at a time in the module called Replenish, which is in our Unhurried Community. If you are a woman and you want to dive into these questions in relationship with other women like you, then join the community now. And I cannot wait to meet you personally in our online training and conversation. Go to unhurriedliving.com and sign up. As always, we love connecting with more and more friends like you who want to rest deeper, live fuller, and lead better.